Welcome to Temple tonight. Amen. If you're visiting, make yourself right at home. Glad to have you. And just join in with us as we do. I'll take a little time to study the Bible. As he mentioned, keep praying for the camp this week. You might expect some opposition. Don't worry about that. It's a spiritual. That's the most important. The spiritual conflict that takes place. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 49 with me if you'd like to turn there. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 49. The Apostle Paul of the church at Corinth says, "We have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. This I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." Father, bless this book now. In your holy name, amen. The following verse 51, he introduces to us the rapture. Show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall be changed. The catching away of the saints of God when the Lord comes back for his own. Now, in the book of Genesis, chapter number 1 and verse number 26, it says that God made man in his image. And here's what he said. He said, "Let us make man in our image." And those who do not believe in the Trinity, they don't like that, so they say, well, he's talking to angels. And they say that because they're ignorant of the Bible. Angels are not in the image of God. No, this is the Trinity speaking within itself. God the Father speaking to God the Son. And who is talking? God is talking to God. The Lord said unto my Lord, "Sit thou at my right hand." God does talk to God a number of times throughout Scripture. But in Genesis chapter number 9, I want you to notice something here. It begins to open for us a pattern that follows throughout all the Scripture. In Genesis chapter number 9 and verse number 6, the Scripture says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." Now, here's a colon. Now, watch what follows. Now, look at this. This is the qualifier. "For in the image of God made he man." So what are we saying? He's saying that man, being made in the image of God, an assault on man is indirectly assault on God. He takes it personally. So this is why he introduces capital punishment for the offender. If you kill a man, then you too forfeit your life. Now, you know, I'm not big about killing anybody. But the truth of the matter is, we live in a generation today that has no respect and no regard for human life at all. And so there's one thing certain about the death penalty. You say it's not a deterrent. It is for the one that's executed. He'll kill no more. It's an amazing thing, too, when you come down and read some of the stories about these people as they face execution, some of them serial killers. Oh, how they want to live. They want to live. They want to live. I saw a bumper sticker yesterday on the back of a car that said, "My body, my choice." I thought to myself, aren't you glad they let you be born? So you could make that statement? What if they had chosen to chop you up and you would not be here today? You see how one-sided that is? How blind people can be? Human life's an important thing, folks. I don't like killing. I don't like it one bit. But the Bible makes arrangements for sometimes it's necessary. Look at the book of Job, chapter 33 and verse number 4. They just executed in the state of Florida the oldest person ever to be executed in that state, and he was in his 70s. And the crime he committed was something like 40 years ago. And so now he has, of course, gone out to meet the Maker. In Job chapter 33 and verse number 4, the Scripture says, "The Spirit of God hath made me," now look at this, "and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." Remember what I told you? Where'd you come from? Well, your body came from dust and it was formed by the hand of God. Where'd you come from? Job just told you. His breath gave you life. Where did that breath come from? It came from the Creator. You see, angels don't need to breathe. God doesn't need to breathe. But he made you by breathing from inside into you, and you became a living soul. soul is a product of the spirit entering into a vessel. And so when Adam came into being, God had breathed into him the breath of life. So the breath of God becomes the soul of man. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Because you did not come into being by the breath. You were brought forth from him. This is why he says you are in his image. That's important. So what does that mean? That's your identity. Identity is a big deal. Every generation has its own music. It has its own idols. It has its own heroes. It has its own culture. Every generation. And it's amazing how that the next generation comes along and throws under the bus the one that previous generation. Like, you don't know what's cool. You don't know what's good. This, that. And all I have to do is go back 150 years and I'll find my generation. When I grew up, 1964, went off into the, graduated high school, went in the military. And so identity is a big deal with man. When you begin to deal with him on the basis of identity, then you can see how Satan can work with identity. That's important. Because when you get into the image of God, a lot of these things I'm teaching tonight, some folks never heard them. Never heard it. They have no idea. They think, well, the image of God, angels are in his image, cherubim, seraphim are in his image, this, that. But they're not. There's not one word in that Bible that says anything apart from a man is made in the image of God. This is why there was an eruption of the angels, kept not their first estate, came down, the daughters of men, bore children to them, the Nephilim. Now, I know you get in a very controversial thing, you start talking like that, but the truth is, you have a three-tiered thing going on here. Tier number one, the angels. They looked on women and lusted after them, all right? That's them. Then you've got Satan. He has his motive and his purpose and everything that he does. He might have gotten a hold of some of the truth of the image of God with man. Might have. He might have begun to understand what's going on. You see, the truth of the matter is, I've said to you before, no thing, no creature has ever laid eyes upon the pure essence of God, only the Son. The only one that can take you to the Father is the Son. The only one can take you to the Son is the Father. He dwells in the light which no man can see, which no man hath seen, to whom be honor and power everlasting. A light that you can't see. So when Satan said, I will be like the Most High, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will, he didn't have a clue who he's talking to. Because he does not know the essence of God. God's a spirit. But tell me the essence of a spirit, please. You can't. So here we go. God is everywhere, yet he moves about. Now think about that. He's everywhere, is he not? That's called omnipresence. David said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Yet he moves from one place to the next. So it's obvious that God does not fit into the category of who and what we are. Now this UFO phenomenon that's coming on, It's a big deal. In Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 9, the scripture says, Noah was perfect in his generations. The Hebrew word tamin is translated perfect. Do the etymology on it and run the cognates on it and check it out, and you'll find out that it means perfectly pure. In his generation, he could connect himself all the way back to Adam. In plain words, the angels did not interfere in his genealogy. This is why God chose Noah to go from the old world into the new world. Remember the image of God. That's a very, very important thing. So we are 2026, and they're talking about aliens now. They're talking about UFOs. Been talking about them for a long time, but now they have revealed another group of UFO sightings and this and that and this and that. Here's what's important about the UFO thing. It's not that something can do a 90-degree angle at above the speed of light. You know, with a human being like us, we just turn us into mush. That's not a big deal with me. What am I looking for? I'm looking for their message. I'm looking for what they're saying. I'm looking for what comes out of it. You judge a tree by the fruit it bears. And it's important. How many's ever heard of a statement like alien encounters of the first kind, second kind, third kind, fourth kind, fifth kind? Some of these have to do with abductions. They take a human being into their craft And they go literally through the reproductive system. That's what they're more interested in than anything. Why would an alien be interested in the reproductive system of a human being? Think about that for a moment. Reproductive. Why would he be so interested in that? The scripture says in the book of Daniel that they'll mix their seed with the seed of men, right? Talking about the end. They'll mix their seed with the seed of men. All right, here we go. We're going after the image of God again. Now, the moment God saved you and you were born into the kingdom of God, you right then receive the image of Christ, who has restored the image of God in mankind. You will be perfected one day, according to Hebrews chapter number 2, when you're brought into the presence of God, the spirits of just men made perfect. That's going to happen, but that hasn't happened yet. But for one thing, I bear the image of the heavenly, but not complete. As the apostle said here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as we have borne the image of the earthy, of the earth, we will bear the image of the heavenly. All right, now my life is hid with Christ in God. That means I've crossed a bar. That means I'm no longer part of this world. The scripture says, reckon yourselves to be dead. You see, I have the old nature and the old man, but that's not who I am anymore. The apostle Paul said to them, and such were some of you, but you've been washed. So it changes us. All right? That's identity again, see? Such were some of you. If Satan can keep you drugged back into what you used to be, you'll never be able to grow. You'll always go around with your head down, beaten to death, and robbed of the power of God to transform your life. He saves us and changes us. Yes, a new creature in Christ Jesus. There's a new man, and there's a war that begins to rage at the moment that you're saved. That war never, there was no war before you were born again, because there's only one. That was the old man. There was no war. But with the moment that you were saved, born again, the war started. And I mean war, too. A war. And so you have to deal with that. We live in a time now when we have UFOs are in your face practically every day. These UFOs in the past have abducted people, according to their own testimony, and checked into the reproductive system. Now, a whole lot of other things happen, but I'm not going to get into all that tonight. What I'm concerned about is the image of God. They have a lot of messages. They're giving, and this, we're talking about 40, 50 years. They've been giving out a message. They're saying, oh yes, Jesus, Jesus, wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful man he is. But he's just one of many. That's their message. You see, Jesus is just your way, but he's not the only way. That's their message. You see, what they've done is put a dagger into the very heart and soul of the gospel of Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is unique to everything there is, folks. There's only one of him. Only one. Only one. And that's how you judge a crowd, a church, a preacher, a ministry. Judge it. The master judgment is, who is Christ and what do they do with him? That's it. So it's so important for us to know tonight who he is. I've told you about CRISPR-Cas9. You remember that one? A few years ago, they're able to take a DNA, and double spiraled helix, and it's got four connectors. These things come across like this, like the ladder. And I forget the name of them, but they never change. They're never reversed. The order remains the same, regardless of how far down you go. These ladders, these that go across, remain the same. All right? And then there's a segment to it. It may go a short distance, but it may go a long distance. That segment presents a code. In other words, how far you go into that DNA, double spiraled helix, from point A to point B, there's a code in there. It's telling you something. RNA, not DNA, but RNA picks up that code and takes it and applies it. And so you have a marvelous, wonderful thing when you look at DNA and the mind that went in to create that. Isn't Mother Nature smart? It's a sad thing that intelligent men, they know this, they see this, and yet they turn away from God and turn. How do you think that could just happen? But anyway, what they're doing is called designer babies. They go into the very DNA structure of what makes us who we are, and they're beginning to manipulate it. Now it starts getting scary, because artificial intelligence has entered the fray. Now, you know these big data centers they're building all over the country. How many realize now there's a movement about to stop them? You realize it's picking up momentum. And nobody wants a data center in their area. They say they eat up all the electricity, so everybody's bill goes up and other things affected with it. But the problem is the data center is needful. It's necessary if you're going to work with artificial intelligence. And the bottom line is that we are now becoming more and more every day dependent upon artificial intelligence. In plain words, it's like it's a catch-22 thing where you didn't choose it, but you can't stop it. And there's nothing that can be done now to take to reverse and go back and get rid of artificial intelligence. You can't do it. So I'll give you another warning tonight. If someone sends you a video of your husband with another woman, don't believe it. Don't believe it. If they send you a photograph of your wife in a compromising place or position, don't believe it. Check it out first. Put it to the acid test. Because they are perfecting it to the point now where even the experts cannot tell the difference. Now, folks, that's scary. That's a powerful thing. Think about the control that you could have over people being able to do that. All they'd have to do is come to you and say, I have created this artificial intelligence, this thing about you. I know you didn't do it. But the bottom line is I want some money. Well, I'm going to turn it loose. And you may clear your name later, but it's going to cost you a pile of money. And it'll cost you your job. It may cost you your family. It may cost you everything that's dear to you. And you can't do a thing to stop it once it comes out. You talk about being able to blackmail somebody. Artificial intelligence is the foundation for that. But it goes much deeper than that. With quantum computing, artificial intelligence, take that and add that to CRISPR-Cas9. That puts CRISPR-Cas9 on steroids. That puts everything more than 10 years ago that took so much time and so much effort to build and to perfect. Now it's just a matter of hours sometime. Artificial intelligence has changed the world, folks, as we know it. And it'll never be the same again. And it has been, you know, I'm not up here tonight to condemn artificial intelligence. When you go to the doctor, more than likely a lot of the equipment that they use to diagnose you, medications you take, and procedures and so forth, some of them have been affected by artificial intelligence. It's in the medical community, no question about that. I mean, it can be used for a good thing. But it can also be used for a bad thing, because you and I both know this thing's coming down to a point where a man of sin is going to show up. The recent release of UFO information from the government, you're starting to get these preachers. And I marvel at some of these guys who profess to be Christians, yet they're appealing to these Gnostics. Just simply atheist. Some of them cases are atheist for their information. Now, you know that the church in America has been under siege for a long time. And you know that the message from the pulpit has changed. I read two letters today that came in over the internet, over YouTube ministry. Two letters. And in both cases, they both said the same thing. They said, we don't go to our church anymore. Our church has changed. They no longer preach Christ. They no longer preach the blood. They no longer preach the gospel. They no longer preach any of these things, these truths that we built our life upon. It has all changed now. It's all about feel good, universalism, prosperity. What's universalism? That's number one with the Antichrist. What is that? As long as what you believe it strongly enough, pour your soul into it. Make any difference what you believe, just as long as you believe it, you see, you're true to yourself. It's your truth. That's that relativism again. It's your truth. If anybody ever comes up to you and says, well, I respect your truth, you know what they're telling you? They're telling you they don't believe a thing that you believe, but, okay, it's all right for you to believe it. That's your truth. That's relativism. There is no relativism in this Bible. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what he said. And of course, that's true. And of course, truth is not a, is in Scripture, truth is not something that's said. Truth is a person. So in the Bible, it's an odd way of saying it. The truth about the truth. The truth of Christ is the truth. You follow me? If you hear the truth, it's going to point you to Christ. And if it doesn't point you to Christ, it's a lie. So all religions are equally true, according to this new theology, this new preaching, this alien doctrine. Jesus was merely a human with a special anointing. Just a man, according to these people. And that he was able to tap in to this cosmic force, this cosmic power, and therefore he performed his miracles. But he is not God, and he's not the Son of God, according to them. Mankind is about to be dramatically changed, and it is being changed. Dramatically changed. Oh, yeah. You see, when I was a 17-year-old teenager, until the point here I am tonight, I've watched this world change. But the change we're talking about is not going to take 60, 70 years. It may not take a year. All of this stuff now is on steroids. And anything that has to do with artificial intelligence, it's like you've hit the afterburners. So, you know, you've got to have an anchor. You've got to have something to come to know who you are and what you believe. Your own friends, your own family members are going to turn against you. They're buying into this junk. They're buying into it. That there are many ways to heaven. Jesus just happens to be one of them. He's your truth, your way. We will all be brought together in one wonderful human brotherhood, they're telling people. And that sounds good on the surface of it. I mean, how many of you get excited about the war over there in Iran? Yeah, I don't get excited about women and children getting blown up, do you? Not one bit. Not one bit. I don't appreciate it one bit. I don't like wars. I'm not a warmonger. I've lived long enough to see some of the wars that were fought, the purpose of them. Smedley Butler was exactly right when he said in South America, Central America, he was sent down there by the bankers. He's a major general in the United States Marine Corps. He said, war is a racket. And most of it is. It's a racket. Somebody's making a pile of money. You realize that? Every war that's fought, somebody's getting rich off of it. Yeah. Well, I guarantee you who's not. It's that private out there on the field carrying his weapon, getting shot at and shot up. He's not getting rich from it. But the bankers are. Yeah, they are. We will all be brought together in one wonderful human brotherhood. They're trying to tear down the individual identity of people and make them just one big mass. How many of you see that? You see that? One big mass. They want to keep you ignorant. Why do they keep you ignorant? An ignorant man is easier to control. They don't want you to be able to research. They don't want you to be able to read. They don't want you to go to the library. All right? Here we have, now folks, we've got people going into these universities that have to take remedial courses that can't even pass the entrance exam, that are high school graduates and functionally illiterate. Now what's wrong here? Don't you think there's a problem? If you can't read, then you're dependent, right? Exactly. You're dependent. Very dependent. If you can't read. You can get to the point where they can hand you a book written in German or French or Spanish and you don't know a bit of it, but you know how to research and you know how to do the etymology on words. You can translate it yourself. That's what Champollion did down there in Egypt under Napoleon. He translated it himself, and he created, and didn't create, but he brought to us Egyptian hieroglyphics. A great leader is about to emerge that will transform this world into a paradise. People are tired of wars, and I am. I'm tired of them. And so they're going to bring peace to the earth, and it's going to become a paradise. No one will ever be hungry. Everybody will have a place to live. All your bills will be paid. And my, my, I mean, who could ask for more? Is there a political party in this country now that's starting to preach to get rid of the Senate, to take the president and some of the other executive branch and put them in a kind, in just kind of part to blown to have a job and someone else really be running the country? To do away with the police force, to empty the prisons and open the borders? You say that can't be so, preacher. It is so. It is so. Do you think that's right? Well, that's what one worlders are doing. That's what globalists are doing. They want to take down, they want to break down the barriers of sovereign nations. They want to change your identity. They want to bring you under their heel. They want to keep you ignorant. And then they want to spoon feed you just a little bit to make it like a dog. If you teach a dog a trick, you ever notice the dogs when you teach them a trick? Every time they do a trick, that he gives them something. And I'm not against dogs. Truth of the matter is, they've saved a lot of lives. Fact of the matter is, I trust some dogs more than I do some people. that's the truth. They, you know, but that's what's going on. They just they give you just a little bit to keep you going. He wants a personal connection with you, where he marks his special relationship with you. This person coming up now, he's going to be the greatest thing in the world. He's going to be wonderful. He is. He's going to be wonderful. No one ever spoke like him. He has the power to perform miracles. He can call fire down from heaven. And he's got his own mark. All he asks you to do is take that mark. You can buy and sell, travel, do whatever you want to. What's the mark, preacher? Find out who he is and you'll find his mark. There's an awful lot of speculation out there what the mark of the beast is. Folks, and I've spent hour upon hour upon hour dealing with it. And the names that have been chosen, this and that and this and that. The simplest way to deal with the mark of the beast, it'll be the beast. When the beast shows up, it'll be his mark. And then you'll know exactly what it is. Now, if you're born again in here tonight, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry about a mark. Aren't you glad for that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've told you about the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Mary, and all the rest of these Gnostic Gospels. 2,000 years ago, when Christ was here, the New Testament was being written. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are the four Gospels, okay? Now, I've told you about the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This is an arbitrary term. They'll teach the young men in college, Bible college. All right, now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are Synoptic Gospels. They essentially give you a view, one view of the life of Christ. John, we don't know a whole lot about John, but we'll just kind of set him over here on the side. That's the way they deal with the young man. Well, that's going further now. They don't like Paul. They don't like the Apostle Paul one bit. Every year that passes, you see more and more and more of these teachers coming out against Paul. Why? Well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John give you the history of the cross, the fact of the cross, who died on the cross, the wonderful truth that you get from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Saul of Tarsus, Paul, opens up the doctrine of the cross and your relationship with God based upon the cross and how the cross bears upon your sin and how the cross bears upon the righteousness of God, how the cross bears upon God Almighty's relationship with mankind. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Where does this come from? It comes from Paul. They say that the Apostle Paul created his own form of Christianity, that it was totally different from the Christianity of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They like to teach that the Sermon on the Mount has core truths. When you hear that, you might as well, you're listening to someone who will tell you your truth. What do you mean core truth? In plain words, they go into the Beatitudes and they'll pull out things that they like and begin to build the message of Christ from a little bit of that, okay? Not all of it, just the part they like, and say, now look at this. This is not really all that different from Hinduism and from Buddhism, Taoism, All the rest of it. They all have core truths. And so the message of Christ about Christ, he's a wonderful man who discovered this great cosmic power, and his message is about essentially the same thing that other cultures are teaching and preaching. That's what they're getting from the pulpit now. But you can't read Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Titus, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, You can't read those books and get core truths like they try to take that agrees with Hinduism, Buddhism, and all the rest of it. No. When you read the Apostle Paul, that is one who exalts Christ and he lifts him up as high as it goes. Here's their problem. You see, Paul's not the only one who exalts Christ after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is written. It's John the Apostle. And where does he do it? He does it in the book of Revelation. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's right. What thou seest, write in a book. What John gives you in the book of Revelation is an exalted, almighty Son of God, who's the Lord Jesus at the right hand of the Father. That's what John gives you. And he's one of the 12. They like to jump on Paul and say he was not one of the 12. Paul said of himself, I'm one born out of due season. But still, God called him. Thanks be unto God that I accept everything Paul said. Every gospel, every book he wrote, I accept it as scripture. And I've, you know, for the most part, down through the years, the people I've met that are Christians, that are real Christians, 99% of them, 99.9% of them, accept the Apostle Paul and everything he said. They don't have a problem with that. The problem comes in with this liberalism that we've got in the churches today. I mean, it is bad. It is real bad. So, this great deception, what's coming? Keep tuned with the UFOs. Keep watching this UFO as it develops. See when they start talking about the message. Yeah, start listening for their message. You know, it's one thing to see vehicles and this and that, physical things moving about. That's one thing. But that doesn't excite me one bit. What I'm looking for is their message, how it affects people. Watch the people now. Here's something to look at. That buy into the UFO phenomenon and believe that it's an aliens coming from outer space, aliens. You have a choice. Either it doesn't exist, it's not real, it's just a phantom. Or number two, it came from somewhere up there. It's called transpermia. Transpermia means that they came from up there and they planted seed here, sperm, transpermia. They planted seed. In other words, they planted humanity here and they've been watching. We're their garden. They planted us, you know, a long time ago, and now they've been checking us out and do a little bit over here to get it to grow better, and a little over here and this and that and this and that, because they're so much smarter than we are and so much greater than we are. Or you can take the position I take. It's demonic. It's real, but it's demonic. It is real, but it is demonic. And so therefore, watch what happens to people who buy into this. Watch them. And Christians. Some Christians will buy into it. They'll say, well, you know, maybe it did come from up there somewhere. I mean, how do we know? I believe that when it comes to the issue of sin and God's relationship with his creatures, God's relationship with mankind, he gets it all settled right here on this earth. The day will come when we will populate. We will. We'll populate the universe. The increase of his kingdom, there is no end. We will do that according to what God has intended, what he plans to do. I don't know. I'm not worried about it. But anything right now that comes in, watch how it'll affect them. And I believe this. I believe that if you begin to accept the idea that aliens are visiting with us and they're ready now, they've watched us long enough, now they're ready to communicate with us. See, they've prepared us, they want to talk to us. You'll receive a spirit. You'll receive a spirit.
Yeah, you'll receive a spirit. And be careful. You know what a Ouija board is? You know what tarot cards are? A number of other things you can get into. And you can mess around with stuff like that. If you're not careful, you can receive a spirit. Now, if you're born again, you can never be possessed of a demon like an unsaved person can be. But you can be harassed. You can bring problems into your home. You can bring trouble. You can bring it down on your soul. You sure can. Believe me, you can. But you cannot be possessed like the unsaved can, because you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And he can't break that seal. You're sealed to the day of redemption. And I'm thankful for that. So now here we live in this age. We're coming down to the end, folks. Well, how much time we got left? I'm not a prophet. But we're coming down to the end. It can't be too much longer. Now for us, you know, with the Lord, a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. That's what the scripture teaches. So, I mean, it may be 25, 30, 40, 50, 100 years from now. Who knows? With God, what's 100 years? It's nothing. I'll be long gone. But I do not believe that the way it is developing and the way it's moving and the way this thing is happening with people, that it can go on forever. I don't believe it. For one thing, the United States of America, our country. And the reason I say it like that is because we got French people listening to us. English people are listening to us. The Germans are listening to us. Australians and New Zealanders, all over the world. They're listening to us, you know. And I'm not telling them United States is the Church of God. Not at all. But I am saying this. I am saying when this country was founded, 3 branches of government. Judicial, executive, and what? Legislative. You remember the senator that just passed away, and his sister now is finishing his term. All right. It's been that way for 250 years. We've got our problems. We've had our problems. We've had our ups and we've had our downs. We've been in dogfights. Yes, we have. But the truth of the matter is, so far it has worked really pretty good. 3 branches of government. But there are people out there that are deadly serious. They want to get rid of the Senate. They want to defund the police. They want to open the borders. They want to empty the prisons. You talk about a fool. There are people in prison locked up right now that would cut your throat and laugh while you're dying. Yeah, they'd enjoy it. You want to empty that? You want to put that out on the streets? We'll see what happens in this midterm election coming up, because some of them are running candidates. John F. Kennedy, I grew up when John F. Kennedy was the president. I remember when he was assassinated in Dallas, Texas. I remember when it came on TV. I was watching television one day, and I was watching TV, and they were transporting Oswald underneath the jail there through a corridor. And I was watching it live when Jack Ruby ran up, and I think he had a .38 special, and he shot him right there. I saw it happen. I watched it when it happened. I sure did. The party, the Democrat Party of John Fitzgerald Kennedy of 1964, would not recognize what's out there today that calls itself Democrat. And I'm not up here today preaching Democrat and Republican, but I'm going to tell you this. If you deny the deity of Christ, you turn from the grace of God, you say he's just another man like any other, I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat, I got no part with you. I'm blown with you. Got no part with you. And somewhere along the line, we have to make a decision. And I've made mine. I've made my choice. And by the grace of God, this I'll stand. Here I'll stand until I'm gone from here. Because we all have to give an account. And I pray that you take to heart what I've said tonight. And if I've deviated from the truth somewhere, just find it. Find for yourself and check it out. Because what's coming is coming. And we're not going to be able to stop it. And it may accelerate. It may be moving at a certain speed now, but a week from now or a month from now, it's going to be moving faster. I said, we don't know. We'll just have to wait and see what comes. But I do believe it's coming. And here's the thing that matters to me the most, and I'll shut up. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Hallelujah. Amen.
Not all of that just tells me, good night. Nobody saw this 50 years ago. Nobody saw this 25 years ago. He's coming. Man, that's exciting. Father, thank you for your word and time in your house tonight. In Jesus' sweet holy name we pray, and amen. All right.